13. Romans chapter 10, and we'll start at verse 13 and read down through 17 or so. This was a passage that stuck out to me a little bit. Bishop sent out a recording of Bishop Wright and some teaching, very, very powerful teaching. But this was something that stuck out to me about faith. Romans chapter 10, verse 13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed?" So this is talking about salvation, a very important topic, something we should all be very well versed in. But it's talking about the way to become saved, or the path to salvation. First, you have to call upon the name of the Lord. There's an expression, an outward expression to God that the individual must make in order to experience salvation. But in order to do that, in order to call upon the name of the Lord, you have to believe. So there's another layer, another step. There's belief that precedes the response to God. There's something in our spirit and in our heart that we have to find and register and confirm that we must believe. And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? We see another layer. I know we've all heard this before, but work with me here. So in order to believe, we have to hear. Everybody good so far? Okay. "And how shall they hear without a preacher?" Backs it up with even one more step. You could write a really nice flow diagram on this one. It'd be pretty straightforward. But in order for someone to be saved, and all those steps that it takes to get there, there has to be a preacher, because you must first hear to believe. And to hear, there has to be someone proclaiming. Now, we understand that this term preacher is not someone holding a mic or standing behind a pulpit, right? The preacher is someone who proclaims the gospel, someone who utters and openly discusses or talks about. If you really drill down to it, it's back to the old days, the herald in the old times, the guy that would run around town screaming his head off, yelling the news. That was the herald. This is closely tied. So a preacher, or someone who proclaims or heralds, is required to start this whole process. Everybody remembers the verse about the how God uses the foolishness of preaching. And this is the process. In verse 15, "And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But have not they all obeyed the gospel? For Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed our report?" And verse 17, "So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Faith comes by hearing. We have to be comfortable and confident to be preachers in our worlds. We have to understand that there's a requirement for a soul to come to a place of salvation. They has to first hear. We can pray for the lost. we can cry out to God and we can intercede and we can, you know, really reach for Him and try to beg Him to save souls. But unless there's a preacher, unless there's someone proclaiming, and unless it's heard, there can't be belief. Can you say amen? All right, we're going to turn to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, and we'll start at verse 5. We're still talking about faith. Luke chapter 1 and verse 5. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abia, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. So this is Zacharias. He was a priest married to a daughter of Aaron, Levite. And verse 6, they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. Now hold on to that verse 1 second. This is quite a testament about this couple. I mean, that's a testimony. They were both righteous before God. Anybody want to be righteous before God? I do. That's quite a testimony. And they walked in all the commandments and the ordinances of the Lord blameless. That's powerful. And in verse 7, and they had no child because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. In verse 8, it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course. So he's at church, or he's at the temple, doing his thing, doing his duties as a Levite. He's the priest, and it's a very lofty position that people look to, and we just read about the good things that it has to say about him. He's there, he's doing his duties. And in verse 9, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. In verse 10, and the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. There's a lot of prayer going on. There's, you know, he's performing his duties. In verse 11, there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. Wow. You're praying. You're having a Holy Ghost service, and all of a sudden an angel appears next to you. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. Now, I've heard many say, you know, talk about angels and hearing and feeling, and some have even seen. I don't know what I would do if Gabriel just appeared right here next to me. I don't know what that would look like. I don't know what my reaction would be. I don't know what he would look like. But that's what happened. And Zacharias was troubled. He was fearful. I'm sure he'd never had this experience before. But the angel said unto him, "Fear not, Zacharias. Now catch this, for thy prayer is heard." God has heard your prayer. Your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. This is, at least in some extent, a result of prayer. This guy, this righteous guy and his wife, they'd been barren, they'd been childless for a long time. They were old now, but they had prayed to God. They had. You know, in prayer and supplication, they'd ask God for a child. And I don't know if at this point they just kind of given up hope and just decided, well, it wasn't meant to be. Let's move on with our lives. Maybe adopt a puppy. Next verse. Verse 14. And this is still the angel talking, and thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. This is powerful. This is a word. I mean, this is Gabriel himself delivering the word of God, the messenger delivering the words of God. And verse 15, he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. 16, and many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God, and he shall go before him in the spirit and the power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient of the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. What a powerful word of God that has just come across to this man. He has to be excited. I mean, his faith has to be right here, right now. He's just got to be, oh, this is awesome. Thank you. I'm receiving this word. And his response in verse 18, and Zechariah said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. Now catch his response here. He's talking about, whereby shall I know this? How am I supposed to know this? Convince me, angel. There, you can see he's struggling with his knowledge. He's struggling with this word that had just come from God, this direct from the messenger. And he's struggling to understand it because he's saying, how am I to know this? He's talking about knowledge, knowing, knowledge, what you know, how you perceive. And he lays out the reasons why he can't receive this. And the angel, in verse 19, answered. This is the angel's answer to this response. Remember, the question was, whereby shall I know this? For I'm an old man and my wife stricken in years. The angel responds, I am Gabriel. The first thing he does is say, introduces himself. Oh, sorry, maybe I forgot to introduce myself. I'm Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. I'm sent to speak unto thee and to show thee these glad tidings. Hey, buddy, maybe I should have done a better job of introducing myself, but I'm kind of a big deal. He didn't say that. I'm putting that up there. But you get the idea that Gabriel is the messenger of God. He stands in the presence of God. And he's trying to show this man, this righteous man. Remember, this is a man of faith, a man that believed God. He trusted God. He walked with God and served him. But Gabriel responds in verse 20, behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. That's quite the rebuke. He didn't hold back. He said, you know what? Since you didn't believe me, since you didn't receive the word of God, since you had to process it through your mind and try to figure out how this is all going to work out, there's going to be consequences for that. And you're not going to be able to talk about it. You're not going to be able to spread your doubt. You're going to be quarantined, because this thing is going to come to pass. This is going to be fulfilled in its season. And we'll skip on down, but you know, through the story, John is born, or not born yet, but he is conceived, And, you know, when he is born, they go to say what their name, the name is going to be. And at that point is when he received his ability to speak again, because he says that the baby's name will be John. We're going to jump down just a couple of verses to verse 26. And we'll look at a very similar situation in verse 26. And in the sixth month, so this is the sixth month of pregnancy of John, the angel Gabriel, same guy, same angel, was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at this saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. Now, as you read a little bit about Mary through the Gospels, I noticed and was kind of struck by how she tends to be thoughtful. There's several places and portions where she considers the matter. She thinks about it in her heart. She contemplates it. You kind of get the impression she's not one to speak out forcibly, and you know, not a maybe a huge talker. She thinks about it. She ponders. When it talks about Jesus in the temple, and when he responds saying, "Didn't you know I had to be about my Father's business?" She pondered that in her heart. But her response to the angel is somewhat similar to Zechariah. Or Zacharias, in that she was afraid. And specifically, what manner of salutation this should be. What's he going to talk about? This guy just comes in, or this angel comes in and says how highly favored I am. It's kind of building me up, setting me up. Where is this conversation leading, angel? And the next verse, and the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. This is quite the message. Round two. This is one of the greatest messages ever told. But we see Mary's response. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? Now, at this point, if I'm Gabriel, I'm kind of thinking I might be losing my job here, because this is time number two. I'm delivering a message from God, and these people just won't get it. I've come straight from the presence of God with a message to deliver, and each time these people have to come up with all these impossibilities. But you see something lacking from this conversation than what we saw in the one before. He's much less harsh on Mary. And he says in verse 35, The angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee. Remember, her question was, How shall this be? Or, in other words, how is this going to happen? The angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she also conceived a son in her old age, and is 6 months with her, who also was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. He didn't rebuke her. He didn't say, you're not going to be able to talk until that baby's born. Can you imagine how difficult that would have been for her if he had? I mean, think about that. But I really believe, and what I want to bring contrast to here is Mary didn't understand how this was going to play out. She'd just been told a wonderful thing, a great thing, but one that through her understanding was very impossible. She'd been given a word from God that in her mind, she had no idea how that was going to play out. Zacharias didn't know either. But his response was more, how am I to know that this is true? How am I to know? How am I to understand? How am I going to capture this and get my brain around it? Can you maybe draw it out for me? I just don't know if I can quite get there with my mind, with my understanding. And Mary's response isn't quite like that. Rather, it's, how's this going to happen? I don't see a pushback or a negative or a lack of faith. I just see an open and honest person saying, I don't know how on earth this is possible, but how's this going to work? Because we see further response as the angel goes on, and Mary responds once more in verse 38. She says, behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. There's something in Mary that didn't have to understand everything. There's something in Mary that when prompted by the leading and the voice of God and the message of God in her life, there were things that she wasn't ashamed to ask about. But it wasn't from a position of pushing back or resisting those things. It was, in as we read, she says, I don't know how this is all going to play out. I don't know how this is even possible. But let it be to me according to thy word. Whatever it is that God wants to do in me, I don't have to understand it. I don't have to put my arms and my mind around it. I don't have to get it. But let it be to me according to thy word. This is a place we have to get. This is a place where if we're going to see God do what he wants to do, we have to come to a place where we submit our not only our wills, but our understanding. Because if we only let God do things in our life to the point where we can understand, then we're only going to see half the picture he wants to do. Remember, we walk by faith and not by sight. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. If you can see it, if you can understand it, if you have an evidence that it's happening and it's actually there, then you don't need faith. That's not faith. But God requires faith. He requires us to believe him and to trust him even when we don't have a clue of how that's going to work out. Sometimes the Lord will show the end. He'll show the end result. He'll give a promise like he did to Abraham, or in this case, like he did to Mary. I'm glad that Mary wasn't like Abraham and tried to figure out a way to make this happen. I'm glad that she waited on the Lord. She pondered it in her heart. She thought about it, and her response was, so be it unto me. Lord, it's your will. Do what you're going to do. But the Lord will sometimes show us an end result or something that's going to happen, and he'll leave out all the in-between section. We'll just get this glimpse of sometime down the road, and we'll try to figure it out, maybe place our steps to lead up to that point and try to draw a map. We'll try to get our brain to understand it, to break it down, to put it in manageable chunks so that we can accomplish it, so that we can perform it. When God is, all he wants us to do is believe his word. He wants us to believe his promise and just to agree with him. That's faith. That's where faith comes in. When God extends his word in our lives, when he gives us a word of any capacity, what he needs is for us to reach for that and say, God, whatever this is that you want to do, do it even so to me. When I find myself pushing against the will of God is when I, like Zechariah, am trying to figure everything out. Trying to figure out, well, God, this is what you want me to do, so you know this must be where I need to go, right? Sometimes we have the opposite of that. God will ask us to step out in faith, and it will only illuminate the very first step in front of us. And we're here, it's like, well, I can see that, but where is this leading? This makes absolutely no sense. I thought we were going this way, but you're making the next step over here. And if we don't see the end result, or we don't see the big picture is what he's looking at, then we can resist God. I want to have an attitude like Mary. I want to be slow to react, slow to talk about it, and spend more time thinking about it and meditating on it. I want to think about the Word of God. I want to meditate on the Word of God, meditate on his thoughts, on his word, the things that he speaks, and say, God, I don't get it, but I know that you do. Let's stand tonight. Jesus, we're surrendered to you, Lord. Your will be done, Jesus. It's your kingdom. It's your will, it's your kingdom, God. We submit ourselves to you tonight. In Jesus' name, take us where you want to take us, Lord. Don't let there be any thoughts holding us from that place, God. Don't let the desires of my heart hold me from the place you want to take me, God. Hikarabato shikaya. Yematahai. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hikayondo shikaralamahai. Hiatayanoboshi. Hikayando shilamataha. So be it unto your word, God. Yishalamato koma. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I trust you, Jesus. I trust you with my life tonight, God. I trust you with my future tonight, God. I trust you, Jesus. You are the author and the finisher. Hikalamato yeshikaya. Hikalamato hoshima. I lean not on my own understanding. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Hikalabasho koye mataha. Yindalabaso koye ma. Hilalalabashatahai. Break down those walls in my life, God, that I would build up, Jesus, to be limits to what I think you can do. Tear those things down tonight, God. I surrender myself, Jesus. Hiatayaloboshikaladabaha. Hinalabashatabaha. Ina ashato lobokoyema. Hika la labando ye masika. Hila labasho ye yasando.